I am Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
Really?
I can't get comfortable this morning. I've got a case of the jitters.
Well, just looking at you makes me uncomfortable as well.
Oh, I would say
anyway,
something.
Joining us, let's get to the business part.
Yes.
We have Major Nick Dona, Major Zach Purser, and Michael Dent. And you guys do unique missions. That could be like, quick, I need a load of chewing gum. I mean, what exactly is a unique mission?
Yeah, that's a very loaded statement, I guess. But we're here. We do developmental flight tests. So any of your new weapons or stores on the airplane, new podded systems or sensor systems, any upgrades like that, software, we're the first ones to fly those sort of things to test and evaluate them before they're released to the rest of the force for further testing or training.
Okay, so this is not necessarily a new aircraft, but it's a new upgrade.
Well, it can be.
Or a new add-on.
Yeah, it can be. In the case of the F-15EX that we brought here, that went right into actually integrated tests, so developmental and operational tests at once. So sometimes we do get a new airplane or a reworked legacy airplane.
Right. So, yeah, I'm thinking like, you know, the X-39 million, you're going to fly that. But no, you're more like existing hardware upgrades, retrofits, new generation.
Absolutely. So that X whatever you just mentioned will absolutely be flown by a developmental test pilot or developmental test air crew first. That's not our primary mission at Eglin. We're generally more widely known systems that we're doing further testing, developmental testing for.
Okay. And that could be anything.
It
a new
be.
Weapon system, a new avionics upgrade, a more comfy chair.
Absolutely. So one of the core competencies or the biggest capability that Eglin offers is specific to weapons testing. We actually have Clutch Purser here from Seek Eagle, so we can talk a little bit more about envelope expansion and stuff we do with weapons as well.
Okay. Yeah. That's one of the big things at Eglin Air Force Base. We have large ranges that are very specifically built to handle all the weapons testing, not to mention the Gulf of Mexico that we're right off of. So anything that's brand new, you're not exactly sure what's going to happen, we're able to take that and actually go out and test and evaluate it. And then I'm lucky enough to be the Director of Operations at the Air Force Seek Eagle office, and we're the engineering group that takes the designs from the prime manufacturers and does a lot of the engineering analysis on the functionality of, is the weapon system exactly what we're looking for? And then once you place that on the aircraft, is it in danger of endangering the aircraft, the air crew? And once it we determine that, is it actually going to fully complete its mission that it was designed to do? So we do all that evaluation and then send recommendations up to the program offices, and that's how you get brand new weapon systems onto fighter and bomber aircraft.
Now, are you primarily working with weapon systems that are air to ground or air to air or both?
Both.
Okay.
Pretty much any weapon system you can think of comes through the CQ office, and most of that comes through Eglin Air Force Base.
Okay. It must be a huge range because, I mean, we're talking about weapons now that can be fired miles away.
Correct.
So, you're over California shooting at Ohio or something. That must be interesting.
As things continue to develop, it's continued to be a problem for a lot of, well, not a problem, a challenge to a lot of our ranges that we've typically tested things in the past, because the ranges continue to expand and we have to continue to safely expand that for our operations to be able to monitor all those shots but keep the public safe. Obviously, you can't just be firing live ordnance over populated areas.
Right.
I was going to say, we've got there are missiles out there right now that can be fired and forgotten about from 100 miles away and still be effective.
That would be something.
Well, the Exocet missile, you can fire that 100 miles away.
Yeah, but that's not an aircraft launch missile, is it?
Yes.
Oh, wow. See what you know around here? Learn everything. Anyway, how many missions do you guys fly? I mean, is there that much development going on?
Yeah, absolutely. excuse me. We fly multiple times a week, both of us. And, you know, there's 5 days a week there's flying going on at Eglin across all platforms that we fly. So F-15, all variants of F-15s, F-16s, and there's developmental test missions on the schedule every single day almost.
Multiple ones. Mm-hmm. So we test not only the brand new things that you'd think of, but anytime they test or change, we call it our operational flight program. So think like the computer system in the jet that gets updated constantly. Anytime you change one zero to a one, you have to go back and ensure that didn't affect any of the other systems. So there's constant test going on.
Now you talked, you mentioned the words envelope expansion, weapons envelope expansion. So you're coming up with new ways or new scenarios to try on the weapons? I'm kind of confused about that.
So basically anytime you change a weapon or come up with a new version of a weapon, even if it's one that's been fielded, let's say you just change the bomb body that the weapon is built with, that still has to go back through certification and envelope expansion. So those limits you have in your book that determine how fast, how many Gs, what's the Mach number limit, all that stuff, that has to be reevaluated and taken to those limits. Which is obviously something that test air crew are specialized in. And oftentimes in the case like the F-15, the jet really doesn't care. It's such a great platform. It's so versatile. It's more to protect the weapon from being broken by high G or high Mach. So it's a great platform to work with.
A lot
for
of
that.
It's schedule driven as well. So when we get the newest, coolest weapon, they want it very quickly. So a way to do that is to limit the envelope that it's employed in. It shortens the testing and allows a lot faster production. But once that's good and in production, we want to see how else can it do? Exactly. Yeah. And so once things are in motion, we go back and then do some more evaluation, specifically at Sea Eagle. We do a lot of that, fluid dynamics and engineering analysis to see what's going to happen when we continue to press. If we go supersonic with it, does that buy us an extended range, more time on station, more capability? And so that's a lot of the things we do.
So you just said the key word there, more engineering and analysis. So there's just as much ground testing research being done then as there is flying.
Oh, yeah, and that's a great transition. I meant to not shut out our test engineer counterparts as well. They're extremely critical to everything we do. We have both military and civilian test engineers or flight test engineers working alongside of us in every stage of testing, from planning, testing, reporting, execution, all of that stuff. So we're really relying also on the control room being staffed by test engineers and qualified test engineers to help us out and monitor real-time telemetry. It's very technical. We have discipline engineers and monitoring the test real-time.
Okay. So since you, in the case of the envelope expansion, these are known systems, they're proven systems, you're doing something different with them. Have you ever had any surprises where it did not go at all like they figured it would?
Thankfully, I've done a few of these now, and fortunately, no, knock on wood, nothing has gone majorly wrong. A decent percentage of the envelope expansions, though, you may have a store shift a little bit or get some vibrational issues on the store that help them kind of go back and reevaluate whatever happened and fix that for
the release. Do they instrument the aircraft up to record all that stuff?
So absolutely.
We've got sensors all over the hard points and everything?
And the weapons. The weapons themselves have telemetry and measurement systems in them as well.
Okay. So it's not necessarily the real munition. It's a dummy munition instrumented up.
No. All of the compatibility flights I've done for envelope expansion actually have been the live versions of the weapons. But it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Yeah, there are multiple versions of the different weapon sets that are set up to monitor different portions of the flight envelope. But by the time you get to actually certifying it on the aircraft, they want a full live munition.
Right, but typically the munitions don't have sensors on them to monitor vibration because you don't really care.
Yeah, they are definitely special flight test articles.
Yeah,
the test pilot school answer is build-up approach. You slowly continue to ramp up the test and
checking that cup holder, making sure it's strong enough.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, I'm assuming that when you go out on one of these live weapons testing things, you have a chase plane with you, probably a two-seater with some guy in back with a video camera so that you can document
mount GoPros all over the F-15.
Don't laugh. That could be too. They put a GoPro right on the weapon, you know?
There you go. Michael, you wanted to say something.
Yes. I just wanted to share with you that we all work together. We're at Arnold Engineering Development Complex, and we do ground testing. This is a broad generalization, but at Eglin, they do armaments. And at Edwards, at the 412, they do flight testing. So all three of us work together to support the Air Force Test Center.
Okay.
But our primary job is at Arnold, like it is with everyone, is to support the National Defense Strategy. So we have Air Force civilians, along with active duty military, that serve their country to support the National Defense Strategy. And our mission, our specifically, we do ground testing in areas of propulsion. We have wind tunnels. We do hypersonic developmental testing, space chambers, rocket motor launches. We have a slide track out at Holloman that tests for ejection sheet and weapon penetrations into hard targets. It's about 10 miles long.
Yeah.
Six and a half, about 8.5 Mach.
Wow. Sounds like I could live there.
That's ripping.
Yeah. So, yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. And then when you said, if I may, when you said, do you ever run into to problems? That's my tagline when I'm talking to to young engineers, trying to get them to think about the Air Force civilian. And it's like, do you like to solve problems? Because that's our job. I mean, every day is a challenge. It's managed, and that's what we do.
Well, so, that's fantastic. Yeah. So lots of career paths out there.
There are lots of career paths. I'm an engineer. We hire mostly aero and mechanical engineers, but we have it's like a city at Arnold, because we have to have an infrastructure that supports all this. So we do project managers.
Do you need trash man? I could do that job.
We need everything there. And
all right.
I did want to just say one more thing, if I may. We're finding that, how do you convince someone to come work for the government making a little bit less money than you would for a Boeing or whatever? We have internships and all that, but we also have our job. We have benefits, but we also have intangible benefits. Our engineers, they get responsibility early. They're serving their country, and that resonates with the folks that are graduating.
And there's one other part you forgot. The cool factor.
You get to blow up things. And
yes,
and,
exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's How a good cool day when that? Things blow up.
Yeah. Things don't blow up. You're
right.
Going, uh-oh.
We've been speaking with Majors Nick Dona, Zach Purser, and Michael Dent from the United States Air Force.
This is
Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and I'm all weaponized here
at EAA Radio.